Feeling a little churchy in here tonight. Appreciate. In fact, the Lord loves us and died for us. What a blessing that is. And I sure am glad that He's coming soon to receive us unto Himself. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's look over in 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. 2 Samuel. Chapter number 23. It's good to be in the Lord's house. It's good to be saved. 2 Samuel 23. I'm going to pray while you're turning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being in your house again tonight. Thank you for our health. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to get here. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, for a good place to come. We pray, Jesus, God, that you would magnify your word tonight. And I pray, God, the word would magnify Christ. Help us by the good power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd hide us behind the old rugged cross. And may Jesus be seen tonight. May your bride be edified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Alrighty. 2 Samuel. Chapter number 23, and I'm going to begin reading there in verse number 8. The Bible says this, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hirite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." I'm interested in that phrase there in verse number 12. It says, "But he stood in the midst of the ground." But he stood in the midst of the ground. And I want to preach on this thought tonight on standing your ground. Standing your ground. And I think about my house where I live and where I call home. And you think about where you call home, fellas. And if A was somebody that come up and was about to take what was yours there, I hope to goodness you wouldn't tuck tail and run. But I would think probably every man in this room here, and some of you redneck women, amen, y'all would probably stand your ground. Am I right about it? You know, why is that? Because it's mine. Because it's yours. Because God has blessed you with it. God's give it to you. And it's got your name on it. And you have a right to it. Therefore, you would stand, and probably most men in here would probably give their life for their ground, for what they have and what they've been blessed with. And, you know, we've also been blessed here at this place. And, you know, this is the Lord's house, but this is what God has given us. And we ought to stand our ground here at this place. And I want to look here at a few things about this fellow right here. By the name of Shammah, I want to look at him. He was a valiant man, wasn't he? He was somebody that
he was willing to stand when the Bible says that everybody else was running away. And we live in a time today that I don't guess I've ever seen the church under attack as it is. And, you know, we need not to think that we're above that we are the untouchables. We need not to think that Liberty Baptist Church, even though the foundation it's got, and even though the past it's got, we need not to think that it is beyond being taken by the Philistines. Because the moment that we feel that we are invincible, the moment that we feel that we have got the upper hand, that's when I promise you the Philistines will attack. So let's look here. First of all, I want to look at the fruit of the field. The fruit of the field. The Bible says it was a field of lentils. And there's all kinds of things. You can look at these lentils, and these lentils are a great source of protein. And that's for your strong folks, amen? But it also has some kind of chemical in it, and I'm definitely not no scientist now. But they say it is something that's very good for infants. It's something in those lentils that's good for kids. But I notice here, first of all, what would we say that our fruit is in this place? What kind of fruit is in Liberty Baptist Church? What kind of fruit have we experienced and we tasted of over the years that this has been here? I say, first of all, I would be the glory of a thrice holy God. That's some fruit that I sure have enjoyed. Now, everybody in the room here has probably at one time or another went to a place, to a church, and there wasn't no glory there. When I say that, I'm talking about the presence of a holy God. And what a precious thing that is that I feel like a lot of us take for granted a lot of times is to get to come to church to where when somebody gets up and sings, we feel that down in our soul going thumpity thump, amen. We feel something turning cartwheels inside of us. And what a blessing that is to feel His presence. What a blessing it is to know God is in the midst of what's taking place. Amen. I sure am glad. Listen to me. I'm telling you, it's a job, amen, to preach in a place where God just ain't there. Amen. That's why us preachers have outlines, amen, just in case. Amen. Those outlines is a just in case matter. Just in case God ain't there, I ain't got to stand up here and look stupid. Amen. But I'm glad when God takes over, when He's in the midst of things, amen, He'll do the preaching, amen, and He will bless people's soul. Ain't you glad of that? He is what we come here for, amen. We don't come here to see who can sing the best. If we wanted that, we'd go to Atlanta and get in the Georgia Dome, and we'd hear some country singer sing that's got a pretty voice. But we're here to hear somebody sing and preach and teach about an almighty God who came down from heaven, amen. He was robed in royalty. He was holy. And He came down and took upon Himself the form of a servant. He came down as a man, and He died and shed His blood for the likes of you and me, old Gentile sinners, amen, that we might be saved. That's what we're here for, is to brag on Him, amen. I'm saying the fruit of this field is His glory, amen. What a blessing it is tonight to get to come somewhere where God will help you. You've been through the mill all day long. Everything's went wrong that could have went wrong in the past 7 days. Everything has fell slap apart. Listen, everything is torn to bits. But I'm glad that you can come in here dragging and barely making it through the door. And God touch your heart and bless you and give you exactly what you need to get you just a little bit further down the road. Hey, I'm glad. Bless His holy name. I'm glad that this is a fueling station. Amen. I've come in here. here a lot of times. When I was about out of gas, the needle was down on empty. Amen. Some of these times I've come in here pushing my car. Amen. But I'm glad. I'm glad that God's got a fueling station. And I'm glad God will give you what you need to help you along the way. Hallelujah to His name. Ain't it good? Listen to me. The fruit of this field, not only is glory, but is grace. I sure am grateful that He's here. But what a place we've got here. What a blessing it is to have this place. We ought to stand our ground for the glory. But we ought to stand our ground for the grace that's been shed abroad in this place. Listen to me. Listen to me clearly. We've got a good pastor tonight that has not wavered. He has not compromised. And I'm not, listen, I ain't got a stick of feather in his head. I don't owe him nothing and he don't owe me nothing. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to have some men of God in a house that'll still stand up and still go. Let me go back up a little bit. That'll go to an old-fashioned altar and beg God for a message. Amen. And not look on the internet and pull an outline off there. But I'll beg God for a message and then pray over it, study over it, look it up and down, and then get up and preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's one of the graces that God's blessed us with. Amen. Thank God. Ain't it a blessing that singers will get up, the choir will get up and sing. You watch them Sunday, amen. They'll get up here and sing, and they give it all they got. They'll get up here and they'll sing. These that sing on the piano, these that play the instruments, they take it seriously, amen. It's not a job. I don't think they get no check around here, but I'm glad there's some people that care about what they do, amen. Ain't you glad they still some people that care about serving the Lord. Amen. Graces. I build buildings for a living. And we look in here. This is absolutely amazing. I don't know how many acres here. Several. But there's several acres of land. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 buildings here. And a sweet piece of property here. We're probably looking at about $10 million if I had to build all this today. At least. 10 million. And I don't know nobody in here that's got a whole lot of money. I'll just be honest with you. Even in the Sundays, I don't know nobody that's got that kind of money. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. I've got a man that owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And the hills they own. And he's the one that's graced this place and blessed this place. And I say, hallelujah, we ought to stand our ground. We ought to stand our ground. Because you know what? The devil wants it. The devil wants it. And he may not turn this into some... You know, he may not turn this... He may not want to shut the doors. But I'll tell you what he'd want to do. He'd want to shut God out. Yeah, man. Some of you fellas ought to get your redneck self. You ought to stick your foot down. You ought to say, I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to do my job down at the church house. I'm going to stand my ground, amen. And I'm willing to fight these Philistines. I know it's a job. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But I'm willing to stand because it's worth it. Amen. I say the fruit is the glory. The fruit of this field is God's graces. But the fruit also is the generations that's passed through here. I can think of this when this started. It started in my mom and daddy's house. And I was crazy as a bet. I'm still pretty crazy. I just be y'all know that anyway. But it started then. And I guess I was in my early 20s. And we've had a generation, they come, you've had a generation, and now some of the generations that was born having kids, these grandkids, listen, it's worth it, my friend. What takes place in this place? Listen, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little news. Listen, unless the Holy Ghost of God pricks a heart and draws them, there is no salvation. Therefore, if God is not in a place, there ain't nobody getting saved. You want to know how there's all these false salvations? Somebody can go, shake the preacher's hand, repeat this little prayer. They go back to their seat and do exactly like they want to do. It's because God ain't in it. But if God, I'm telling you that when God's in it, somebody will get born again. And they may mess up. They may trip up. But honey, they ain't going to like it because there's a God in heaven that lives in them, that met them in an old-fashioned altar and saved the pudding out of them. Amen. I say the fruit of the field. But let's look at the foe that's in this field. These old Philistines. You know, there's a foe that continually fights this place. There is an enemy that has got this place, this pastor, these leaders of this church, that has continually got them in their crosshairs. I'm telling you, they are waiting to take a shot. They're waiting to stick their leg out and trip them up. They're waiting to take them down, to destroy them. Therefore, we ought to stand our ground and stand in the gap for these men and these ladies that's willing to serve. Amen? There's a foe in this field. I'll tell you, in today's churches, what he's doing. He's doing a whole lot of confusing. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of, if you, and you go to certain places, and listen to me, it ain't none of my business what goes on nowhere. But I'm telling you just the facts. There's a lot of places that there's absolute confusion in the church house. There's all kinds of, you'll have a preacher get up and read out of a Bible, and there'll be five different versions in here, and ain't none of them that lines up. You hear what I'm saying? That is absolute confusion. You'll have somebody and speak with this crazy tone, and you'll have all kind of craziness going on. It's confusion. What does that look like to young folks? What does that look like? I'm not talking about just kids. I'm talking about people that have just been saved, that don't know what that Bible says. When they see that, and they scratch their head and say, these folks, I don't understand it. Honey, we need sound doctrine. We need the Word of God preached. And we need to teach them in an old-fashioned manner. Amen? America's went sidetracked. We got off the rails. We are in a mess in America today. And it's because we've detoured and got away from the Word of God and the old paths. We need to get back to the old paths of what's right. And yeah, I'll tell you, he's a confuser. But he's also a constrictor. He's a constrictor. Old snake's a constrictor. You know what he'll do? Now, he'll do this to you. He'll do it to the pastor. He'll do it to the singer. I know what I'm talking about. I've been in pulpits before trying to deliver a message, and it feels like somebody, Brother Ken, it feels like somebody had you by the throat and you can't say nothing. I'm telling you like it is. These ladies will tell you, these fellows that sing will tell you, there's times when they get up here and try to sing and give God glory, that there's something just got them bogged down. I'll tell you what that is. It's a constrictor. And listen to me, you may be sitting in your seat. You come in off a hard day's work, or you've had a bad week. You come to the house of God on Sunday morning, and you sit in that pew there, and the devil's got you so constricted that you can't enjoy the service. You can't worship God. You can't do nothing in the church. It's all because of the enemy, the foe of the field, that has you constricted. Honey, we need to stand up and stand our ground. Because there's an enemy that wants to hold us down. Not only is this old foe a confuser, he's a constrictor, but he's also a con man. He's a con man. You know, in the short term, he wants to mess this service up. In the short term, he's already got a plan for Sunday's service. I'm telling you what the foe. He's got a plan to distract Brother Ken or whoever's preaching. He's got a plan to distract. Amen. He's got my throat already. He's made a plan, amen, to constrict, but he's also a con man. Excuse me. He's a con man in that he wants to trick, and he wants to beguile, and he wants to steer somebody wrong. Brother Lee, he wants to come in here. He wants to come in here and teach something falsely on the long-term basis. He wants to. That's why you got a pastor. That's why you got a preacher. That's why you got a man of God in the house. Amen. Because he would love to slip somebody out in a classroom to teach your young'uns. That is not a child of God, that don't know the Word of God, and he would love to con them and teach them something that's false in their young minds, in their young Christian minds, and lead them astray for the rest of their life. I can remember stuff that I was taught, and you can too, way back when you was a kid in Sunday school. And I'm telling you what's taught in these rooms here and out back is highly important. It's very, very important. And the devil's a con man. He would love to come in and he would love to lead astray. He would love to hang something shiny and say, listen, come this way or come that way. Follow me. But it's important that somebody just sticks with the stuff, even though it don't glitter and it don't shine and it ain't fun. And somebody just teach the Word of God, amen, and tell our babies that Jesus saves, and it'll pay off one of these days. Amen. You carry them to church for a reason. When church service is over, when the man of God says dismissed, carry them to Six Flags. Amen? Carry them carry them to the park, carry them to the playground. That's the time for that. The house of God is somewhere to learn about the God of the Bible. Amen? Am I right about it? Alrighty, the fruit of the field, the foe of the field. But I noticed something else about it. There's some that's fleeing the field. There's some that's fleeing the field. The Bible says there, in verse number 11, it says, and the people fled from the Philistines. And there's a lot, excuse me, that you and I know. And I'm not downing nobody. I promise you, I'm the last one to throw a stone. But there's a lot that's not here tonight. And I love them to death. And I do anything for them. I don't care. Listen, you ain't got to be going to church for me to love you. I'm telling you that there's a lot that's not here tonight that used to be in the field. That used to be there and hoeing the lentils and picking the weeds out of the lentils. But now they've left the field because the Philistines has come and sowed discord. And I've been the con man and been the constrictor. And he's also been the confuser. And they've left the field because of these Philistines. They're fleeing the field. Why? Well, I believe some are just dismayed. Some are just dismayed. Some's lost their courage. Hey, some that have left what's here in this field. And you know, there's all kind of excuses why you leave. You know, I just ain't getting fed there, and I just ain't getting that. Lord, just what, you know, everybody's heard them all. But you know, this it's fleeing. That have lost their courage. They've lost what it takes to stand. Somehow or another, they just lost their guts. And you know what you got to do? You got to stay pumped up. You've got to stay primed up. You've got to be here when the doors are open. You've got to get what God has for you when He is offering. Amen. There's times when I go to my altar when it don't feel like He's nowhere around. There's time I open my Bible there when I don't feel like I get nothing out of it, but I've read something. Listen to me. But then again, there's times when I go to my altar and He is there. And there's times when I open that book and He is there. There's times I go to church when it feels like He's not there. But then again, there's times when I go to church and He is there. Amen. So I need to be there so I can stay fueled up. And I won't get dismayed and leave the field. Listen to me. There's some that's fleeing because they're dismayed. But then again, there's some that's fleeing because they're disheartened. Disheartened. It just ain't the same as it used to be. It don't trip your triggers, the saying is. You know, and I'm telling you, it's easy to get there. Listen to me. You that may be where I'm talking about here, disheartened. Or maybe you may be raring to go. You may be the one that's standing in the field. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to lose heart. And you know what? This place ought to be dear to you. It ought to be cherished. It ought to be cherished because of the God that's here. It ought to be something that's precious to you. It ought to be something that means the world to you. It ought to be something that's one of the dearest things that you have. God's house and your church, the assembly, the body that you are a part of, it ought to be something that's special to you. And it ought to not never cross your mind that I'm not going to be a part of tonight's service. I'm not going to be a part of what they're having tomorrow night. I'm not going to be a part of choir practice. It ought to be something because you are a part of it. Disheartened. But we get disheartened, don't we? We get to the place to where somehow or another, and I hate to put it this way, but it seems like we just don't care anymore. Am I right about it? Anybody ever experienced that? Has the devil ever lulled you into a sleep to where you've really, if the truth was to just come out, these words, I just don't care. Anybody ever been lulled into that? I have. But you know what? We ought to care. We ought to care what happened. You know why you discipline your kids? Because you care for them. You know why that you come here? You know why you're supposed to... one of the reasons that you come here is because you care about what you're being taught and you care about what church you go to. You care, but it's easy to sit in these pews and not care. Now, let me say this. You know, you can leave this field in spirit and not leave it in body. I know what I'm saying. You can leave this field and still sit in your pew. I've been there and done that. You can leave this field and your mind be on the outside. Your mind be out somewhere else. But when you come to God's house, you need to have your heart in it. I remember when this thing was just this shotgun right here. No wings or nothing. And we'd come to God's house, and I don't know what it is. And you know, but when I'd come to church, I'd be anticipating something. You know, I'd be curious. I wonder what in the world God's going to do today. I'm telling you the truth. Brother Jerry, you know what I'm saying? I remember coming in here, Brother Ken, and before I ever got here, Brother Ned, I remember thinking in my mind, ain't no telling what's going to happen tonight. And your mind go crazy. You know, we may have one of them blowouts, Brother Ken don't even get to preach, and it just gets crazy in here. You know what? Where'd that go? Did we just get too used to it? Did we just get used to it? And I've been there and done that.
What happened to that? Anybody know what? Am I the only one crazy and used to would sit at my house and before I'd come to church, I'd just be wondering, you know, I wouldn't be thinking about what I was going to do. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know. I may just confess a little tonight. What happened to me that I would sit at home before church or even the night before and I wouldn't even be preaching and I'd wonder, what in the world is God going to do tomorrow? Anybody, am I right, Ms. Renee? Where'd that go? I wonder if God would, if we Saturday, we'd look for Him. I'm talking about, He said, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a little bit. I wonder if we'd look for Him just a little bit. I wonder if we just maybe whispered to Him Saturday night, Lord, I'd like for You to move tomorrow. I wonder what You're going to do. I'd love for, I'll look at this little baby here. And you know, I know we're in rapture mode. We are. We got 11 minutes. I know we're in rapture mode right now. You know, I'm waiting on the Lord to come back and love the song that was sung tonight, Come Jesus, Come. And boy, I'm ready to see Him. But wouldn't it be a blessing? What if He give us a, right here at the end, it'd be just like God. What if right here at the end He said, before I come back, I'm going to call time out. And I'm going to blow through my churches. And I'm going to have a year's worth of Holy Ghost revival like this world's never seen. And I'm going to go in the corners of the field. And I'm going to glean in them corners. And I'm going to get the very last one before I send my son. What if He done that? I'm ready for Him to come. I'm ready right now. But be just like God to say, hold up just a minute. I'm fixing to blow the wind through there. Be just like Him. Wouldn't surprise me one bit, to be honest with you. So we see some fleeing because they're dismayed. Some's fleeing because they're disheartened. There's some that are fleeing because, no doubt, they're distressed. Some's been fighting. I'm going to tell you how this works, and you all know it. This is Wednesday night crowd. You stand in the gap, and you stand your ground in this field right here. Let me say this. In this text here, this one man stood in the field. There's Philistines coming all around him. There's some, though, that fled. Question. Who do you think had to fight the hardest? The ones that fled or the ones standing in the field? The ones standing in the field. I wonder what he felt like when he got done slaying all those. I wonder what he felt like when he's tired. I bet he was wore slap out. I bet he even caught a lick or two here and there. He may have even got nicked by a sword. He may have even got speared by a spear. Doesn't say nothing that he didn't get injured. But I'll guarantee you that he was wounded a few times. And listen to me, there's some here that's no doubt distressed and worn out and defeated, it seems like, all because you've been in the battle so long. But listen to me. Listen to me, child of God. Put your foot down and keep on going for the glory of God, because there is an end to this battle, and it will be victorious in Jesus' name. I'm glad that there's some that's willing to fight, and I want to encourage you to press on. Press on. Fight on for the glory of God. Don't give up. Don't give up. It might surprise you. Listen to me right here. You that's distressed, it might surprise you at the weight of this church that you carry on your shoulders. I'm telling you, am I right? There's some in here, and I'm not going to call no names, there's some in here that I call their names.
I try to every night before I pillow my head, because I believe the Lord's shown me that they're prayer warriors and they are bearing a heavy load. And listen to me, if you quit, if you leave the field because you're distressed, you're going to put that much load on somebody else. Don't you think for one minute, because all I do is pray, all I can do, I can't sing, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can barely read. Just because you pray, don't think you're not important. You're one of the most important and vital parts of this church. Is the ones that'll get on their knees and pray to a holy God and ask Him to shower down on this place. You want to know why we have good meetings? It's because somebody prayed. Listen, any preacher that's worth his salt will tell you these outlines come a dime a dozen. It takes the God of glory to come down. And unless the Spirit comes down, amen, it's all in vain. And we need Him. Lastly, the fruit of the field. The foe of the field, those fleeing the field. But there's one we see that's fighting for the field. He's determined, isn't he? Read that with me one more time. Verse number 11. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. Wonder how many times there's been some to flee. But somewhere in your altar, I don't know who I'm talking to, but somewhere in your altar, when everybody else is fleeing, God stepped in your altar and said, but you're going to stay. You're going to fight. But He stood. He stood in the midst of the ground. And interesting word. Didn't say He slew the Philistine, but it says He defended it. Defended it. Ain't that something? He defended. You know what we need today, 2024? What we need in churches today is we need somebody that's determined. We need somebody that'll make a decision and understand that it's not going to be, you know, a bed of roses the whole time. It's not going to be like that. I think of Brother Daniels, he started his business. I think of my boss, started his business, used to work in a chicken plant. And he'd work on machines, hanging chickens and, you know, making very little. Now he's got a $30 million business a year. And, you know, that didn't just go escalating all the time. But he had ups and downs. Ups and downs. Ups and downs. Ups and downs. And listen to me. Some of you fellows need to determine in your heart, I'm going to stand. And next week may be the hardest week I have ever encountered in my entire life. Some of you ladies need to determine, it don't matter what happens, I'm going to stand the ground and defend it. Determined. Anybody can make a decision. Anybody can make a decision. Decision's just saying, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, or I choose this or I choose that. But sticking with it is a whole nother thing. Stand your ground. Be determined in what you choose. Stick with the stuff. And they were dependent. He's dependable also. I wonder tonight if there's anybody. I wonder if there's anybody that would be willing. And you let the Holy Ghost speak to you. I have no idea where your spiritual life is. It's not my job to know. You know. But I wonder, in spite of whatever may have happened last year, or in 2020, in spite of whatever may have taken place in your life in the past, I wonder if you'd make a decision. And don't make it hastily. Don't make it so fast that it don't mean nothing, but make a decision. As old cow sits in the field there, lays in the field, and moves that dog, she's chewing the cud. You need to chew the cud a little bit and get the juices out of it. And make your decision once you've weighed it all out. Think about, I want you to, listen, don't make no decision off of glamour and glitter. Make your decision off realizing that there's a fight to be fought. There's Philistines coming. There's a battle to be fought. There's an enemy that wants my neck. Think about that. But it's worth standing in. It's worth standing in. I wonder if there's anybody that would be willing to stand and fight the old fight of faith. Father, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. Thank you for your precious word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people here. And I know beyond a shadow of all doubt, there's some of these people in here in this house that's had their foot down for quite a while. That they're battling and they're fighting these Philistines. They're fighting this foe that we're talking about tonight. And God in heaven, I pray that your word would encourage them. I pray, God, that you would help them along the way. God, Lord, would you give them a drink of water? I pray, God, Lord, that you'd give them what they desire, and that's you. And we love you, and we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.